Test 4. Now, open your question paper and look at part 1. Part 1. You'll hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B or C. Situation 1. You'll hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B or C. Situation 1. You will hear a headmaster making some announcements to the school assembly. Good morning, everyone. Here are some announcements for today, Monday, the 19th of January. The junior and senior basketball teams are to meet Mr. Elliott in the gym at 2:30. They may, therefore, not attend their last session, and good luck to them against Folkestone Grammar School. Please, don't forget the cake and biscuit sale in aid of charity. This will take place the day after tomorrow, starting at 1:30. All cakes and biscuits should be given to Mrs. Shepherd by 9:30 on the same day. And one more sports announcement. The under-15s football match against Manwoods, which was supposed to have been played this afternoon, has been postponed due to bad weather. I will keep you informed about that. Good morning, everyone. Here are some announcements for today, Monday, the 19th of January. The junior and senior basketball teams are to meet Mr. Elliott in the gym at 2:30. They may, therefore, not attend their last session, and good luck to them against Folkestone Grammar School. Please, don't forget the cake and biscuit sale in aid of charity. This will take place the day after tomorrow, starting at 1:30. All cakes and biscuits should be given to Mrs. Shepherd by 9:30 on the same day. And one more sports announcement. The under-15s football match against Manwoods, which was supposed to have been played this afternoon, has been postponed due to bad weather. I will keep you informed about that. Situation 2. You will hear two people talking about their flat. Well, I think we're really lucky to get it, and at a very reasonable price. Do you know how much a decent flat costs in this area?
I appreciate that, Jack, and it's lovely to have so much space, although I can't imagine what it's going to cost to heat in winter.
Yes, that's a major concern. But just imagine how we'll enjoy those balconies in the summer. Plus, it's only a 3-minute stroll to work. Well, I think we're really lucky to get it, and at a very reasonable price. Do you know how much a decent flat costs in this area?
I appreciate that, Jack, and it's lovely to have so much space, although I can't imagine what it's going to cost to heat in winter.
Yes, that's a major concern. But just imagine how we'll enjoy those balconies in the summer. Plus, it's only a 3-minute stroll to work. Situation 3. You will hear two students talking about a lecture.
I thought that was an extremely interesting lecture, didn't you, Lee?
Can't say I agree with you there, Betty. It was pretty lively in its own way, and people were certainly listening carefully, but most of it went way over my head, and I only knew what he was talking about half the time.
Oh, come on now, you're exaggerating. I mean, yes, he did talk about some pretty deep issues, but it wasn't as bad as you make out.
But it was. It is not enough to know things. It's also important to present them in a way that makes sense too.
I thought that was an extremely interesting lecture, didn't you, Lee?
Can't say I agree with you there, Betty. It was pretty lively in its own way, and people were certainly listening carefully, but most of it went way over my head, and I only knew what he was talking about half the time.
Oh, come on now, you're exaggerating. I mean, yes, he did talk about some pretty deep issues, but it wasn't as bad as you make out.
But it was. It is not enough to know things. It's also important to present them in a way that makes sense too. Situation 4. You will hear two people talking over a meal.
Would you like some bread? It's a special Italian kind.
Thanks, but I'm on a diet. I'm not supposed to have bread.
Why are you on a diet? You don't need to lose weight.
Oh, it's not that kind of diet. I'm not trying to lose weight. It's a diet that's supposed to help with all sorts of digestive problems. All you have to do is make sure that you don't combine certain foods in the same meal.
I didn't know you had digestion problems. Are they serious?
Oh, no, not really. It's just that sometimes I get a stomachache after a meal.
Would you like some bread? It's a special Italian kind.
Thanks, but I'm on a diet. I'm not supposed to have bread.
Why are you on a diet? You don't need to lose weight.
Oh, it's not that kind of diet. I'm not trying to lose weight. It's a diet that's supposed to help with all sorts of digestive problems. All you have to do is make sure that you don't combine certain foods in the same meal.
I didn't know you had digestion problems. Are they serious?
Oh, no, not really. It's just that sometimes I get a stomachache after a meal. Situation 5. You overhear two young people talking about their holiday plans. So, how are the summer holiday plans going, Karen?
Well, Mum wants me to take the revision summer course we were thinking of taking, as I haven't done all that well in my exams, but I feel I need a rest.
Same here. I think we should stick to our plans and travel round southern Europe. I'd love to see Spain again.
That may have to wait until next Easter, Brian. I think I'd rather do what I can to keep my mother happy.
Well, I don't want to travel all on my lonesome or sit around doing not very much at home, so I think I'll join you. Is it expensive? So, how are the summer holiday plans going, Karen?
Well, Mum wants me to take the revision summer course we were thinking of taking, as I haven't done all that well in my exams, but I feel I need a rest.
Same here. I think we should stick to our plans and travel round southern Europe. I'd love to see Spain again.
That may have to wait until next Easter, Brian. I think I'd rather do what I can to keep my mother happy.
Well, I don't want to travel all on my lonesome or sit around doing not very much at home, so I think I'll join you. Is it expensive? Situation 6. you will hear someone talking to her friend about a dinner party.
I must admit, I'm panicking a bit, John. I've invited about 10 people for Saturday night, and I'm not quite sure what to give them to eat.
How about takeaway pizza?
Oh, I can't do that, John. My mother would never forgive me after all the cooking lessons she's given me. I think I should make an effort and cook something nice.
Why don't you ask your mother to help you?
What a great idea. My mum will be only too pleased. She's such a show-off about her cooking ability. I must admit, I'm panicking a bit, John. I've invited about 10 people for Saturday night, and I'm not quite sure what to give them to eat.
How about takeaway pizza?
Oh, I can't do that, John. My mother would never forgive me after all the cooking lessons she's given me. I think I should make an effort and cook something nice.
Why don't you ask your mother to help you?
What a great idea. My mum will be only too pleased. She's such a show-off about her cooking ability.
Situation 7. You will hear someone talking to his friend about his report. I got a C for my report, which isn't too bad, but Miss Jones said she had a few things to say about it. I thought she was going to tell me I rely on the internet too much, like she did the last time, but she didn't.
That's what she said about my last piece of work too. But when I asked where else I was supposed to get my information, she explained that the problem was copying information without examining, editing, and, most of all, referencing it. So, what did she say to you this time?
She said the report wasn't nearly long enough to include all the necessary information, but at least all the information I had included was relevant. I got a C for my report, which isn't too bad, but Miss Jones said she had a few things to say about it. I thought she was going to tell me I rely on the internet too much, like she did the last time, but she didn't.
That's what she said about my last piece of work too. But when I asked where else I was supposed to get my information, she explained that the problem was copying information without examining, editing, and, most of all, referencing it. So, what did she say to you this time?
She said the report wasn't nearly long enough to include all the necessary information, but at least all the information I had included was relevant. Situation 8. You will hear someone explaining to her friend why she is excited. You seem pretty happy, Norma.
Well, you know Susan's back from France. Well, she surprised us all by announcing her engagement, so the whole family's rather excited.
That's a bit sudden, isn't it?
No, not really. She's been with Jamie for years. But what this means for me is that I'll have to cancel my trip to Rome, at least for the time being. Someone has to organise the wedding party, you see.
You seem pretty happy, Norma.
Well, you know Susan's back from France. Well, she surprised us all by announcing her engagement, so the whole family's rather excited.
That's a bit sudden, isn't it?
No, not really. She's been with Jamie for years. But what this means for me is that I'll have to cancel my trip to Rome, at least for the time being. Someone has to organise the wedding party, you see.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two. Test 4, part two. You'll hear a talk about seals. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two. Today, we are going to visit all our sea mammals and first of all, the seal. Remember, the seal is a mammal, not a fish. Seals evolved from bear-like creatures about 30 million years ago. What used to be four legs have developed into four flippers. Now, there are three families of seals, the true seals, the eared seals and the walrus. This one here is a true seal. If you look carefully, you will see that it hasn't got ears sticking out. Its ears are internal. And its flippers are so short that they are nearly useless for walking on land. The second family is that of the eared seal, which, as you can tell from its name, has external ears. But we have no eared seals in this park. Eared seals include sea lions and fur seals. They have tiny external ears and can lift their bodies off the ground with their flippers. The third family is that of the walrus. Walruses have solid bodies. Their skin is wrinkled and they have tusks. If you move to the other side of the pool, you will see our two walruses. It is not difficult to distinguish between eared seals, true seals and walruses if you know where to look. Like I said before, sea lions and fur seals have tiny external ears, but true seals and walruses only have ear openings. It is also easy to tell them apart when they are walking on land. Sea lions, fur seals and walruses rotate their large flippers back and forth and use them as legs. Look at that walrus walking clumsily on the rock surface. The flippers of true seals, on the other hand, are too short to turn under the body and act as legs. These seals move on land mainly by flexing their bodies. But when moving on snow and ice, they can slide very, very fast because they use their front flippers as paddles. The crab-eater seal, for example, can slide at 25 kilometres an hour on smooth ice. Now, what makes a seal unique among marine mammals is that, whereas its legs have developed into flippers, its tail has disappeared almost entirely. Other marine mammals, such as whales, which have lost their hind legs, can at least use their powerful tails for swimming. But seals don't need a tail to swim well because they have aerodynamic and flexible bodies, which make them excellent swimmers. So flexible are they that they can nearly touch their rear flippers with their nose when bending backwards. Sea lions are the fastest of the seals and can reach speeds of nearly 40 kilometres an hour. Seals make and hear sounds underwater and they use these sounds to communicate with each other. They have different sounds for mating calls and territorial defence, and some seals, like walruses, sing complex songs that can last longer than a minute. It is still not known how they navigate in the water or how they track their prey. Now you'll hear part two again. Today we are going to visit all our sea mammals and first of all the seal. Remember, the seal is a mammal, not a fish. Seals evolved from bear-like creatures about 30 million years ago. What used to be four legs have developed into four flippers. Now there are three families of seals, the true seals, the eared seals, and the walrus. This one here is a true seal. If you look carefully, you will see that it hasn't got ears sticking out. Its ears are internal. And its flippers are so short that they are nearly useless for walking on land. The second family is that of the eared seal, which, as you can tell from its name, has external ears. But we have no eared seals in this park. Eared seals include sea lions and fur seals. They have tiny external ears and can lift their bodies off the ground with their flippers. The third family is that of the walrus. Walruses have solid bodies. Their skin is wrinkled and they have tusks. If you move to the other side of the pool, you will see our two walruses. It is not difficult to distinguish between eared seals, true seals, and walruses if you know where to look. Like I said before, sea lions and fur seals have tiny external ears, but true seals and walruses only have ear openings. It is also easy to tell them apart when they are walking on land. Sea lions, fur seals and walruses rotate their large flippers back and forth and use them as legs. Look at that walrus walking clumsily on the rock surface. The flippers of true seals, on the other hand, are too short to turn under the body and act as legs. These seals move on land mainly by flexing their bodies, but when moving on snow and ice, they can slide very, very fast because they use their front flippers as paddles. The crab-eater seal, for example, can slide at 25 kilometres an hour on smooth ice. Now, what makes a seal unique among marine mammals is that, whereas its legs have developed into flippers, its tail has disappeared almost entirely. Other marine mammals, such as whales, which have lost their hind legs, can at least use their powerful tails for swimming. But seals don't need a tail to swim well because they have aerodynamic and flexible bodies which make them excellent swimmers. So flexible are they that they can nearly touch their rear flippers with their nose when bending backwards. Sea lions are the fastest of the seals and can reach speeds of nearly 40 kilometres an hour. Seals make and hear sounds underwater, and they use these sounds to communicate with each other. They have different sounds for mating calls and territorial defence, and some seals, like walruses, sing complex songs that can last longer than a minute. It is still not known how they navigate in the water or how they track their prey. That is the end of part two. Now turn to part three.
Test 4. Part 3. You will hear five teenagers talking about what sort of holidays they enjoy. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to H what each speaker says about it. Use the letters only once. There are three extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3.
Speaker 1. I've been travelling since I was quite young, and I've been right round the world, and have had the time of my life, and it's been a wonderful learning experience. But lately, because of all the publicity about it, I've begun to worry about the environment. Should we really be doing so much travelling? So I've been trying to be a conscientious consumer. I have taken to sleeping on beaches or in the least expensive hotels I can find. However, as much as I hate it, I can't avoid getting on an aeroplane now and again. Speaker 2.
I travelled once with my brother, but I soon realised that having to do what someone else wants is just not for me. So from then on, it's been strictly a solo effort. The sight of a large crowd just gets me running in the opposite direction, I'm afraid. I was also into the beach and sun holiday at first, but now I tend to go on courses. Last year, I took a course in Muslim art in Tunisia. I enjoyed every minute of it and think that will be the pattern of all my future holidays.
Speaker 3. I can't say travelling still has the appeal it used to have for me. I remember the days when I thought it was fun to sleep in a train corridor from Belgium to Spain. Well, not anymore, I'm afraid. Too old for that sort of thing now. And I can't stand the way people rush around. How can you get the sense of a place if you spend the whole time in a bus rushing from site to site? We just rush around too much nowadays. Having said that, I feel as if I'm almost running out of places to visit. Even remote places are full of package holiday makers these days. Speaker 4.
I'm a pretty nervous traveller, and I'm not sure I'd like to travel alone. I think travelling is much more enjoyable in company. I also love meeting new people, so I don't go to places where that's not very likely to happen, such as the Gobi Desert, where my sister wanted me to go last year. What's more, I work hard, so when I go on holiday, I really want to feel spoiled. So I prefer expensive, luxurious hotels. And I let someone else do all the planning for me. I just ring my travel agent and ask her to book me in a hotel where I can lie by a pool and do nothing for a week.
Speaker 5. I hate flying and I hate airports. I dislike having to go through all the security at the airport, but I suppose there's not much choice in the matter. Unless, of course, you choose not to fly like I do. And why should you? I mean, how can you get a sense of anything if you just jump on a plane and arrive somewhere a couple of hours later? And where is your sense of adventure? Give me a good old train journey any day, or even better, get there on a bike if you've got the time and energy. Now you'll hear part three again. Speaker one. I've been travelling since I was quite young, and I've been right round the world, and have had the time of my life, and it's been a wonderful learning experience. But lately, because of all the publicity about it, I've begun to worry about the environment. Should we really be doing so much travelling? So I've been trying to be a conscientious consumer. I have taken to sleeping on beaches or in the least expensive hotels I can find. However, as much as I hate it, I can't avoid getting on an aeroplane now and again. Speaker 2.
I travelled once with my brother, but I soon realised that having to do what someone else wants is just not for me. So from then on, it's been strictly a solo effort. The sight of a large crowd just gets me running in the opposite direction, I'm afraid. I was also into the beach and sun holiday at first, but now I tend to go on courses. Last year, I took a course in Muslim art in Tunisia. I enjoyed every minute of it and think that will be the pattern of all my future holidays.
Speaker 3. I can't say travelling still has the appeal it used to have for me. I remember the days when I thought it was fun to sleep in a train corridor from Belgium to Spain. Well, not anymore, I'm afraid. Too old for that sort of thing now. And I can't stand the way people rush around. How can you get the sense of a place if you spend the whole time in a bus rushing from site to site? We just rush around too much nowadays. Having said that, I feel as if I'm almost running out of places to visit. Even remote places are full of package holiday makers these days. Speaker 4.
I'm a pretty nervous traveller, and I'm not sure I'd like to travel alone. I think travelling is much more enjoyable in company. I also love meeting new people, so I don't go to places where that's not very likely to happen, such as the Gobi Desert, where my sister wanted me to go last year. What's more, I work hard, so when I go on holiday, I really want to feel spoiled, so I prefer expensive, luxurious hotels. And I let someone else do all the planning for me. I just ring my travel agent and ask her to book me in a hotel where I can lie by a pool and do nothing for a week.
Speaker 5. I hate flying and I hate airports. I dislike having to go through all the security at the airport, but I suppose there's not much choice in the matter. Unless, of course, you choose not to fly like I do. And why should you? I mean, how can you get a sense of anything if you just jump on a plane and arrive somewhere a couple of hours later? And where is your sense of adventure? Give me a good old train journey any day, or even better, get there on a bike if you've got the time and energy. That's the end of part three. Now turn to part four.
Test four. Part four. You will hear an interview about a trip to Canada's Arctic. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part four.
Good evening and welcome Susanna Henson. Susanna is going to talk to us about her journey to Canada's Arctic. What made you choose the Arctic, Susanna?
I decided to take part in an organised school trip aimed at finding out more about the Arctic. I can't say I'd ever been particularly interested in that part of the world. In fact, I almost opted for the trip to Europe, which was our other option. But now I'm glad I didn't. The trip to the Arctic was an incredible experience.
So what was your main impression of the Arctic?
Well, it is unbelievably cold and it has a beauty of its own. But what really struck me was the vastness, the isolation, the solitude. When we arrived, I stood on the deck of our ship and saw countless towering icebergs, 12 polar bears, jagged cliffs and an amazing blue sky. It was awesome and maybe a little frightening. It shocked my senses, amazed and astounded me. The feeling was so powerful that it immediately dispelled all my fears and worries, at least for a little while.
What fears and worries?
Well, for example, I'd heard about the level of pollution in the Arctic, but you don't actually see it with the naked eye. The other worry was the fate of the animals in that part of the world, but there are organisations working hard to save them. But what still worries me very much is the problem of the melting ice caps. Apparently, should the water level in the sea rise above a certain level, there is going to be mass flooding in the world, resulting in countless millions of people losing their homes. Now that's a scary thought. Can you imagine? It would affect the lives of people from Europe to Asia and probably cause the extinction of several species of animals.
Speaking of animals, you mentioned polar bears earlier. Were they the only animals you saw?
No, but they were the animals that impressed me the most. Instead of looking scary, which is what I had expected, they were playful and cuddly. I still didn't get too close, mind you. But we saw other animals. There was the occasional seal poking its head out of the freezing water, and you couldn't help but notice the gulls as they flew around overhead, making a lot of noise.
Did you have any contact with the locals?
Oh, yes. The Inuit are a fascinating people, but I was very sad to find out that my romantic ideas of Eskimo life were false. It was distressing not to see a single igloo or kayak. And they all seem to live in these rather unattractive shacks, drive noisy snowmobiles and hunt with guns. But they were kind and hospitable and offered me some dried meat and raw fish, which I was very keen to try. But it didn't agree with me in my stomach and put me in bed for a day or two.
And have your concerns been put to rest since you returned?
No, not really. I mean, it's true that the world has realised how serious the situation is, but at the same time, not very much is being done about it. So, who really knows what the future will hold?
Thank you, Susanna. It was very interesting. Now you'll hear part four again. Good evening and welcome Susanna Henson. Susanna is going to talk to us about her journey to Canada's Arctic. What made you choose the Arctic, Susanna?
I decided to take part in an organised school trip aimed at finding out more about the Arctic. I can't say I'd ever been particularly interested in that part of the world. In fact, I almost opted for the trip to Europe, which was our other option. But now I'm glad I didn't. The trip to the Arctic was an incredible experience.
So what was your main impression of the Arctic?
Well, it is unbelievably cold and it has a beauty of its own. But what really struck me was the vastness, the isolation, the solitude. When we arrived, I stood on the deck of our ship and saw countless towering icebergs, 12 polar bears, jagged cliffs and an amazing blue sky. It was awesome and maybe a little frightening. It shocked my senses, amazed and astounded me. The feeling was so powerful that it immediately dispelled all my fears and worries, at least for a little while.
What fears and worries?
Well, for example, I'd heard about the level of pollution in the Arctic, but you don't actually see it with the naked eye. The other worry was the fate of the animals in that part of the world, but there are organisations working hard to save them. But what still worries me very much is the problem of the melting ice caps. Apparently, should the water level in the sea rise above a certain level, there is going to be mass flooding in the world, resulting in countless millions of people losing their homes. Now that's a scary thought. Can you imagine? It would affect the lives of people from Europe to Asia and probably cause the extinction of several species of animals.
Speaking of animals, you mentioned polar bears earlier. Were they the only animals you saw?
No, but they were the animals that impressed me the most. Instead of looking scary, which is what I had expected, they were playful and cuddly. I still didn't get too close, mind you. But we saw other animals. There was the occasional seal poking its head out of the freezing water, and you couldn't help but notice the gulls as they flew around overhead, making a lot of noise.
Did you have any contact with the locals?
Oh, yes. The Inuit are a fascinating people, but I was very sad to find out that my romantic ideas of Eskimo life were false. It was distressing not to see a single igloo or kayak. And they all seem to live in these rather unattractive shacks, drive noisy snowmobiles and hunt with guns. But they were kind and hospitable and offered me some dried meat and raw fish, which I was very keen to try. But it didn't agree with me in my stomach and put me in bed for a day or two.
And have your concerns been put to rest since you returned?
No, not really. I mean, it's true that the world has realised how serious the situation is, but at the same time, not very much is being done about it. So, who really knows what the future will hold?
Thank you, Susanna. It was very interesting. That's the end of part 4. There will now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet.